The doctrine of love. The doctrine of love. The essence of love. The anatomy of love. All of these things that we're going to talk about today, the doctrine of love. We're going to look at some Greek words for love. And the early Christians were faced with a problem. We look at our country today in America, and we see extreme corruption in control, extreme crime families. The Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family, the Biden crime family. If you really study these families, you'll see that they have a great love for each other. But it is a love that has got to do with attaining money and power. Money and power. And that was what happened with Rome, wasn't it? And with Greece. Mm-hmm. All of these ancient cultures, Germany, Russia, every one of these countries, we had a country here that was founded upon democracy as a republic where people had a say-so. The representatives represented the people's voice. The senators represented, they were the elders, and they tried to bring in wisdom into the, and we had the Supreme Court, and we have a balance of power, supposedly, in our country. These stories of the crime families in history is a story of sin. A story of sin. The early churches were surrounded by this terrible sin and corruption, as we are today, even in America now. And so, the Greek Bible helps us wade through terms for love. The doctrine of love. The essence of love. The anatomy of love. Physical love is eros. Eros. The Greek word eros. And it means an attraction. A physical attraction. This doesn't occur in the New Testament. It occurs in the Old Testament in different places. It talks about lovers, and it talks about a physical attraction. If you, at Valentine's Day, we have Cupid with arrows. And in ancient times, when people would get mad at each other, couples or lovers would get mad at each other, they would call upon supernatural forces to bring them back together again, and potions and different things. Well, Eros was the Cupid, shooting the arrows into the lover's heart, and where they would be just absolutely so attracted to each other that no physical restraint can be held in that. That's Eros. Now, another word for love, and a lot of people don't do this, some of the lexicons, is another word, porneria. Now, eros is a physical attraction to each other. A physical attraction. Now, that's a physical attraction between a male and a woman. Eros is. But to marry, porneria is homosexuality. The homosexuals, they talk about love. Some of them find love in a lifetime partner, but they usually change partners pretty often, and they kill one another a lot. In this, porneria is a demonic attraction. in this planaria is really a twisted, perverted attraction, as in homosexuality. Men and men don't really fit together. Women and women don't fit together. And when a man and a man and a woman are attracted to each other in a homosexual affair, or whatever you might call it, it's blasphemous to God. In Acts, in Romans, in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it says there will be no dogs in heaven. That means there will be no homosexuals in heaven. In this life, God loves homosexuals as much as he loves heterosexuals. Except that he won't accept that behavior. I know I am friends with a man on Facebook that was very much involved with homosexuality. He was one. And he tries to reach that segment of society to tell them, come out of it. God loves you, but he doesn't love you in that state of your rebellion to him. Homosexuality is a rebellion against God. It's a rebellion against his nature. It's a rebellion against your nature. You're not born that way, as people say. You make choices. Homosexuality is a choice. And it is a twisted love. Prostitution is what we might call homosexuality. Homosexuality. Some women sleep their way to great power, as we have seen, especially in Kamala Harris's life. That is a life of whoredom from one man to the other that opened doors for her up and above and gone beyond and beyond and beyond beyond. And that's worth naming names because she did that. That's fact. She's done that. It started with Willie Brown, went on from there, from one after another in her life, sleeping her way to now as so-called vice president, sleeping her way above. In California, when she was attorney general, she wouldn't prosecute the prostitutes and the what they call the they had the strip joints, basically, but they were more than strip joints. They were houses of prostitution. She didn't want to prosecute them. And then the child molesting, the Catholic Church. She was paid off with the Catholic Church with great donations to them. She would not prosecute the priests that molested the children and all the victims. She wouldn't do that. She didn't want to do that. Maybe it was too much like her own life. Porneia, twisted love. Love that's used for your gain. Now, let's look for another love. And this is storge. We have porneia, we have eros, and now we have storge. Storge. We're going uphill, by the way. We should have started out with porneia and gone up to eros and then up to this storge. Storge. Storge means a love for family. Now, this is the natural love for family. And when we see mothers, especially in the societies that we have today, in California, I had a bus ministry years ago in a church that I pastored there, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And I went out and I saw children being used by their mothers. The children were a paycheck on welfare, whatever. And they were terribly abused for lack of medical care, and they had Medi-Cal. They were not fed right, and they are on food stamps. And I saw these children suffering very much. Suffering, suffering, suffering. I saw that. There was no storge in that woman's life, nor there was there storge in whoever the father was. Storge. The criminal families use this word a lot. The Biden family. The Capone family, basically the Capone family was probably a lot cleaner than the Biden family in many ways because they weren't all involved with the crimes. The Biden family, James, Frank, Hunter, all of them, Joe, are all in it together. They never have done anything separate. Joe okays everything that they do in criminal activities, treason, things with China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a lot of other crime families in America involved with them, protecting them also. And this is this word storge here is a love that a man has for his wife, and the mother for the children, and the father for the children. If you don't have this storge, something is missing. Your wheelbarrow is a few bricks shy of a load. Because when a woman doesn't love her children, and a father doesn't love her children, and wife and family, then we have a dysfunctional situation here that's totally... This storge is a natural love. I can go out here right now, and I have a hen out there, Freckles, and some baby chickens. And that hen will give her life to protect those babies. That's storge. This is something we learn. And when we see a natural woman, when she has a child, she wants to protect the child with her life.
That's right.
If she doesn't, something's wrong someplace. Something's missing in that. This is a higher form of love, this family love, this attraction, this love for your son or your daughter. A lot of times, children today that are rebellious will live off of their parents. They will live off of their parents because they have no storge. They will use their parents. I've seen this so many times when parents, when they become a burden to their children, they give them the gas pipe, so to speak. Call in hospice. We're going to take care of you. And besides that, you've got a lot of money, and we don't want to pay for your medical care, so we'll put you on hospice, and we'll just fade you in. You've lived your productive life, and that's that. And that happened twice in your family, didn't it, Marilyn? Two times. Horrible. Because the children don't have love for the mothers and fathers. That's why. They don't want to be the fathers and mothers raise them, but when it comes time for them to repay the acts of love, storge, they don't have it. They don't have it. One thing about it all, we all get old unless we get killed or something and or die of cancer or something when we're younger. I've never wanted to be a burden to my children. I've always tried to be an asset to them. But I've tried to teach them to stand on their own too. In many ways. Storge goes both ways. It goes in a complete circle in family. The mafia, the Biden family, these families, they'll kiss each other, they'll do all this kind of stuff. And it's family. Joe Biden always told his family, this is family, this is family, this is family. They sent Hunter Biden out as to be the bag man. He's taken all the heat for all the family, but he's a criminal too, as you know. Everything they've tried to accuse President Trump or Hunter Biden had already done it 100 times over. But it's all covered up. And they do it in love for the family. The family, the family. You see this in crime families. The natural, Paul uses it in Romans 1 and 31 and 2 Timothy 3 and 3, and it uses that. In Romans, the first chapter, it says they have no natural storge. That's the women today that use their children and live on welfare and couldn't care less, whatever. They just grow up. They're not raised. And we see that so much today. A man and a woman ought to love their children that they produce and bring into this world, and that means from conception onward. the problem, the storge here also is a problem with the abortion problem because they have no storge. The abortionists have no storge. Sharon was talking to me the other day, and she told me it's like that people will not respect a conceived child as a person. In Rome, when a child was born, if he wasn't named, they left him out to be exposed. And he died. Murder, legalized murder in abortion is a horrible thing. There's no natural storge there. No natural storge. There's no natural love for your family that a chicken and a dog and a cat has.
Yeah.
A chicken and a dog and a cat imitate the love, the storge of God that He gives to us as His family more than some people. And a child is a human being from the time of conception onward. If you don't want a child, then do birth control or something. Or don't do anything at all, which that's not, human rights is not going to do that. We know that. But don't kill that which you conceive. If you do, you have no storge. This message on love here is a very important message. You see this. Whereas porneia, which is a wicked, twisted form of love, homosexuality, etc. There is eros, which is a physical attraction of love. And now there's storge, which is a higher love because you're related. It's your blood. Mm-hmm. It's your blood. Some people try all the time, all their life, to get their mother or their father to love them. Because there's no storge there. You can't make that. It's either there or not. There's a bond there or there's not a bond there. And that bond is storge. Now, there's another word, phileo.
What is it?
Philia or phileo. Phileo. The word phileo means that you are very fond of them. That means you're... You are very fond of a person. This is your bosom friend, your best friend. This is phileo. The greatest example that we have of phileo contrasted to agapeo, or agape, is in John, the 21st chapter. John chapter 21. And we'll contrast these. Phileo is the word Philadelphia. It means the city of
brotherly love,
okay? The word agape is an extremely high form of love. It means a love that you will give your life for somebody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God is love, as John said. God is love. That's agapeo, the sacrificial love. God shares His universe, His whole cosmos with us. And then He died for us on the cross of Calvary through His Son that we might have everlasting life. And that the gift, one of the gifts that we have today is faith, hope, and agapeo love. Okay? Now let's go to John, the 21st chapter. Now, Jesus is meeting with His disciples, His church. By the way, there's many, many disciples. There weren't 12 disciples. There's hundreds and thousands of disciples. And it says, and this is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself unto His church that after He was risen from the dead. And so when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon, Simon Peter, son of John. Boy, He gives His whole genealogy there with Peter, doesn't He? Do you love Me more than these things? He said here, the agapos. Agapos, do you love me? Will you give your life to me more than all of this? More than your fishing, more than your... He said, you know, Peter was there in Jerusalem, and Jesus had died on the cross, Calvary. Peter had not denied him three times, remember, there. And then he said, I go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. You guys want to go with me? I'm going fishing. I'm just going to go right back and do what I did before. I'm going to go fishing. And then the Lord appears to Peter and he says, do you love me? Will you give your life to me more than this? Do you want to give your rest of your life to the fishing boats and to the nets, or are you going to follow me? Do you love me more than all of this? And he uses the word agape. And then Peter turns around to Jesus and he said, you know that I like you. Phile, you know that I like you. You're my real good friend. You know that I like you. He didn't say love. He said, you know that I like you. This is the contrast between agapeo and phileos, or phileo. He said, you know that I love you, philo. I love you. And he says to him, baske to ania. You feed my lambs. You feed them. Peter, you're going to be a leader. You're going to be one of the leaders, one of the 12 apostles. Peter, go out and feed the lambs. Peter was not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Peter was not he was not a pope. He was an apostle. That's all. But that's a leader. He said, you go out there and feed my sheep. The word bosque there means to give them their basic needs of food. Make sure they have food. Feed my little sheep, my little lambs. And then he says to him again, now Peter denied him three times, now he's going to ask him three questions. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, will you give your life for me in love? I want to know, will you give your life for me in love? Will you love me more than your life? That's agapeo. God loved us so much that he gave the life of his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave the life of his Son for us. That's agapeo. He said, will you give your life for me? And he said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I like you. He will not say he loves him. He said, I like you a lot. You know that I like you a lot. And then he said to him, I want you to shepherd my little sheep. I want you to shepherd my little sheep, the probaton, my little sheep. I want you to shepherd them. I want you to protect them. I want you to put a fence around them. I want you to drive them into the sheepfold at night. I want you to lay in the gate of the sheepfold and protect them with your life. The shepherd always laid in the gate of the sheepfold where he took them, and the wolf or whatever had to come over him. So he said, I want you to shepherd my little sheep. And then the third time, he said, Simon, son of John, do you even like me? Am I really only liked by you, Peter, son of John? Do you just only like me? Or will you give your life for me like I gave it for you? Do you really only like me? Or will you give your life for me like I gave for you? Do you even like me? And it says here that Peter was deeply grieved. Eleupithe. He was deeply grieved because he knew that he'd already denied him three times, and right now he wouldn't tell him he loved him. Peter never told him he loved him. Jesus said, I love you, but you won't tell me you love me. You won't tell me you love me. You know, sometimes when wives get mad at their husbands or other shit, they'll say, you don't love me. That's exactly what Jesus is telling Peter. You don't love me. You won't give your life on me. You don't love me. And Peter said to him, "You know that I like you. You know that I like you." And then he said, "Lord, you know all things. And you know that I like you. I like you. You're my friend." He wasn't ready to lay his life down for the Lord. And he proves that later on in these verses. And he said, "Bosque, and I want you to feed all of my sheep, and I want you to shepherd them." And then he says to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, that when we're younger, you went around and girded yourself, and you walked around where you wanted to go. You walked around where you wanted to go. But I'm going to tell you right now, one of these days, your hands are going to be stretched out, and you're going to be tied by someone, and they're going to carry you where you don't want to go." What he says here is, "You're going to be crucified like I was crucified, Peter." "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not ready to do this, Lord. I'm not ready to die for you, Lord. I only like you. I don't love you like you love me." And thus he spoke, signifying the death that he was going to glorify God with. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And then Peter looked around. He said, "I'm going to die? You're saying I'm going to die? What about him over there? What about John over there? What about those guys? What about them? I don't want to die. I don't want to give my life for you. I just like you." And Peter, turning about and seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, agapeo, that's John, one writing this book, following him, that leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Which one is going to betray me?" And Peter, seeing him, said to the Lord, What about this man?" And Jesus said unto him, If I wish that he should tarry till I come again, what is it to you?" You have a job to do, Peter. He has a job to do. You're going to die for me, Peter. And Peter said that he wouldn't do it. Remember? He got scared over there at, you know, at Caiaphas' house. He got scared, and he denied his Lord three times. And now the Lord asked him to affirm him that he loves him three times. And he won't. He won't. He said, "Follow me. Follow me. Do what I did. I showed you how to agapeo. I showed you how to love. Now you do it." And then it says among the disciples that it said that John was never going to die. That had nothing to do with the story, did it? It didn't matter. John died. He died a very old man, still pastoring the church at Ephesus. But Peter died being crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to die as his Savior did. He wasn't worthy. Jesus taught him about agapeo. They saw poneria around them. They saw storge around them. They saw phileo around them. And now they will see agapeo expressed. Peter finally expressed agapeo in his life. Paul expressed agapeo in his life. Stephen expressed agapeo, the love that he gave his life, when he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, ushering him in as he was being murdered by the religious leaders of his time. These knew how and learned how to express agapeo. We all have seen Poneria. It's all over the news. We all see Eros. It's displayed. Women try to sexually attract men, and men try to sexually attract women. And we have the Cupids. You know, Cupid was Eros. And then we see Storge, which is a natural love that women have for their children and for their husbands, and husbands for their children. This is a normal, natural, what we might call implanted thing, identified in man and woman, and they ruined that, destroyed that natural love, Romans the first chapter, etc. Then we say philo, we have friendship, and people sometimes are lifelong friends and they love each other, they feel with each other, they hurt with each other, they comfort each other. This is a lifelong friendship, sometimes best friends, whatever. And you're best friends until you die. And you hope that they don't betray you. Huh. And then you have the sacrificial love that God shows us how to follow Him. The anatomy of love. The doctrine of love. All of these things God gives us and God shows us in His Word. You see this. Displays it. Are you a natural? Do you have storge? Do you have phileo? Do you have agapeo for God? These are the anatomy of the word for love in Greek. But they are brought over in any language, any and every language. Every language has eros. Every language has poneria. Every language has storge. Every language has phile. And only God's language has agapeo. Now, I had a man, I read a book that a man wrote one time about the word agapeo, and he said, well, look at there. The Pharisees loved their fame more than they did God. Agapeo. They loved their fame, their religion so much they would die and go to hell for it, which they did. That word, agapeo, was used there. Because they gave their eternal souls for their temporal lives among here. We know that. The Apostle Paul was finally turned around in his life, in his violent destruction of the church, and became a person that knew what agapeo really meant. Agape. Because he gave his life for his Savior that gave his life for him. See, God shows us how what real agapeo is. In natural human beings, we ought to have the others. We ought to have or know about poneria. We ought to know about eros. We ought to know about storgeo. And we should learn about agapeo. Our Father, we send this message out to you, for you, for your people all over the world, that it will honor and glorify you and teach us how to follow in your love for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That was good, man.